Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for real estate investors looking to protect their assets, save on taxes, and build their wealth with Clint Coons. Clint is an attorney, author, avid real estate investor, and featured instructor at Anderson's tax and asset protection events held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone. Hi, it's Clint Coons here with Anderson Business Advisors, and this is our podcast. And today, we have a very special guest. Steve Streetman is on with us from Street Smart Investments, LLC. And let me just tell you a little bit of background here on how I met Steve. I was actually at a realtor conference, a real estate investor conference, not too long ago in Baltimore, Maryland. And Steve came by my booth, and he asked me, he goes, what do you know of cryptocurrency and real estate? And I had to be frank. I don't know. I know a little bit about cryptocurrency, you know, what you hear on the news. And I explained to him that one of my good friends, who's a bankruptcy trustee, is in charge of one of the largest bankruptcy actions dealing with cryptocurrency from this farm. And I'm not going to go into those details. But I also realized from talking to my bankruptcy trustee friend that, you know, there's a lot of money to be made here. And what really intrigued me and why I wanted to get Steve on this podcast is that he started talking about how real estate and cryptocurrency can work together and what you can do with it. And something that, you know, I am always looking for new ways to invest in real estate, how you can make money at it. And I thought, this is a great topic. I can learn more. You all can learn more. So that's how this came about. And we're very happy to have Steve on here. Steve, how are you doing?
I am doing great, Clint. How are you today?
I'm doing excellent. You know, of course, it's Washington. And so it's doing what it always does here, which is rain. So, I'm used to it.
I'm in the other Washington and it's gorgeous and sunny.
So. Yeah, that's because I'm not there. If I was there, I'd have brought the rain with me. So we want to keep me out of there. But anyways, Tate, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do and how you got started?
Well, my name is Steve Streetman. I'm actually located between Baltimore and Washington out in Maryland. I'm a licensed realtor, partially more of a sideline for me. I also have a business where I do sort of advanced computer consulting. I do computer algorithm modeling and terrorism risk assessment, and I help apply artificial intelligence to selecting stocks, that sort of thing. I have a small consulting company. I've been a real estate investor since about 2004, focusing almost entirely on commercial real estate since about 2009. And I got into cryptocurrency maybe a year and a half ago because a project was brought to me where I was actually trading land for cryptocurrency directly. And that got me intrigued in the whole issue. I was doing my due diligence, trying to figure out whether this made sense, because when I was looking at it, I hadn't even really heard of cryptocurrency. I'd heard of Bitcoin, but not everything else. And since then, I've become very fascinated by it. I am invested both in cryptocurrency and in real estate, and I see a number of synergies between the two. And I'm working on those sorts of issues. On the real estate side, I love apartments, self-storage, assisted living, student housing, those sorts of things. And that's sort of a nutshell of, I guess, who I am and what I'm interested in and what I do.
Okay, so with the cryptocurrency, I mean, you said you're invested in it. Now, from talking to my friend, this bankruptcy guy, he was telling me all about this huge farm is what they have, where they actually are mining this cryptocurrency. And I've understood from one of my employees that you have to have video cards. Do you do any of that stuff yourself? Is that how you're investing, or are you doing it a different way?
No, I don't invest in that. Now, that is one of the ways that you can invest in cryptocurrency. What those folks are doing, a cryptocurrency is a digital currency or a token, and it's online, and they get distributed and issued. And every time there's a transaction, and every time you send it, every time you exchange it, every time you buy some or sell some, that transaction goes on something called a blockchain. And what the miners are doing is they're each keeping their own copy of the blockchain, and the miners are trying to create the next block to go on the blockchain. There's sort of a winner-take-all approach, at least for some of these mining approaches, so that every time you get your block done first, you get a certain amount of cryptocurrency. And so they make their business by mining the cryptocurrency and getting that new cryptocurrency. And that actually works out for them. And you're right, they have to have very advanced computers because they're trying to do something called a hash function faster than anybody else. You get these huge farms of servers trying to do this. And there's a lot of electricity and a lot of cooling. Those are the main costs in the business. So that has one interesting aspect in that if you own real estate and your real estate is an area where you can get really cheap power and you can get really cheap cooling, then it may be attractive to lease your real estate to one of these mining companies. And I know guys now who get, you know, 10 or 100 times the rent by leasing to these guys. One guy started leasing by this cubic feet, essentially by the size of a server, as opposed to by the square foot, because he was leasing to these sort of approaches. So there's, you know, one synergy between real estate and cryptocurrency, but it's not one that I'm particularly involved in right now.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, if I had a building in an area, so here would be Eastern Washington, which has low power, or the power is inexpensive over there. You set up building, I guess, and then you would start leasing out space to different people who want to mine. And they would, what, they would come and put in their servers or their little boxes. I forget what they're called, little farm boxes, and then lease space from you. Yeah, that's interesting, because it wouldn't be much on the interior to build that structure out. You wouldn't need a bunch of interior walls. You just need a bunch of cooling and power rolling into it. Wow.
That's right.
Okay. So with cryptocurrency then, in, you know, since you straddle both sides, you're doing the real estate and you say you're investing in cryptocurrency. Can you explain to me why? Because from the cryptocurrency standpoint, I really don't get it. To me, it's always, I've always looked at it as made up stuff. I you know, I can come out and say, hey, here's Clint's cryptocurrency. We call it the triple C. And what's to stop other
people? Which you could do, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But where's the value in that? I just give it out to people who make this blockchain. What are they doing for me? And how does it? How do you get value from it, I guess? What is it backed by?
Okay, so there's more than one answer to that. Let me, I guess, start with a very brief description about what cryptocurrency is. And I want to talk to you about four different kinds of cryptocurrency, because they get their value in different ways. So cryptocurrency is essentially an electronic token that is online. It is recorded in something called blockchain, which becomes important. Everyone's been hearing about blockchain, but all blockchain really is, it's a series of blocks of data that are chained together through the past so that you can always see future and past transactions. And it's distributed. It means a whole bunch of different people have the copies of it, which means that independently it is validated and it's really hard to make any changes to it. So that gives you some security. There's a whole bunch of things to go on with that. I don't really want to get into the internals of how it works, but where does it get its value? It comes from one of four kinds. So one kind of cryptocurrency is a currency token. So Bitcoin is the grandfather of these. Bitcoin gets its value really from supply and demand. There's a certain amount of supply, and because it can be used to buy things, because you can cash in Bitcoin relatively easy, it's become in demand. Now, that demand has changed a lot through the years. There was a lot of knock on Bitcoin early because a lot of demand was from the dark web or from criminals, because you could be paid in Bitcoin and nobody would know who you were. Now, that anonymity has gotten less over the past few years as people implement things like know your customer rules at exchanges. But there is a certain amount of anonymity to Bitcoin, and that was part of what drove the demand side of the supply-demand curve. So there's a number of currencies that are supply-demand sort of currencies used in the buy. So Bitcoin's an example. Another one that I like to talk about is called Troption, which stands for trade option. And there's four or five little coins in the Troption ecosystem. And those were designed to be like a barter currency. So it's actually very interesting to talk about a barter currency, but rather than going into details there, let me not distract myself from my main point here. There were a bunch of currency tokens. Now, the second kind of token that you might be interested in is security tokens. So these actually are representations of value. It's like issuing a stock. So instead of doing an IPO for a company, you might do an ICO, an initial coin offering, instead of an initial public offering. And when you offer a security token, that might actually represent partial ownership in a company, or it might represent partial ownership of a piece of real estate or a piece of art or a yacht or whatever out there. You can actually have an asset, or you can have a company that has value, and the security token represents that value. To do that, you have to be very aware and comply with all the SEC securities laws if you're in the U.S. and all the other countries' security laws if you're not. And then you can have essentially a security token. It's another way of issuing stock without going through a lot of the rigmarole for some of the stock exchanges.
When you're talking about this stuff, though, you know, I'm thinking of fluctuation. So you're issuing this stuff, but where is its value? I mean, where does it come from? Because I've seen it where it's up at $20,000, and then a couple weeks later it's down at $6,000. Wow, if I'm the one that invested at 20 and I lost that much in value, why would I ever want to get involved with this?
Well, that's with a currency token. Mm-hmm. And I understand that has happened, and it could happen, and there's a lot of fluctuations and volatility because you have people speculating on the token. The reason why you might want to have it is because you have a real serious problem with actual currency, things like dollars and euros. every single year, your dollar is going to be worth 2.5-3% less. It is actually by public policy that inflation is managed at about 2.5-3%, which really, if you include the things that they leave out of the inflation measure, things like oil and some of the other consumables out there, inflation is often higher than 2-3%. That buying power, that dollar, gets less every single year. The buying power of cryptocurrency is not intentionally devalued. It certainly these days has more volatility, but at some point, I think those cryptocurrencies are going to settle down and they'll be a really good store of value so that from one year to the next, your value might be the same or go up. Whereas with the dollar, you're absolutely guaranteed, or with the yen or with the euro or with the yuan or with anything else, you're absolutely guaranteed that your purchasing power is going to be less every single year. So right this minute, with all the volatility that's out there, kind of harder to make the case that this will be a store of value. But that was one of the reasons for trying to have cryptocurrencies, was to maintain a store of value. And so an appropriately done cryptocurrency can be done that. And this might be a point to actually talk about these trade currencies. So Troptions, for example, was intended to be a blockchain version of an exchange barter currency. There have been barter currencies for decades. Things like the International Trade Exchange, or ITEX, was one of the bigger ones. And somebody would issue a piece of paper certificate, and then say someone like Clint Coombs, who wanted to be able to participate in this, might say, okay, I'm gonna contribute 2,000 hours of my legal services. And I, you know, maybe 10 years ago, I would charge $100 an hour. You probably didn't even charge that back then. It's probably more than that back then. But let's say 10 years ago, I charged $100 an hour. I'm doing 2,000 hours, I'm gonna get like $200,000, something like that, whatever that is. And then you get issued this currency. Now you have to be able to redeem those hours for that ITEX dollar. And today you might charge $1,000 an hour for that same hour, but that ITEX currency would still be at the $100 an hour. Whatever they had would be worth 1 hour of your time. So if you have that, and a plumber does that, and an electrician does that, now you can get plumbing services, you can get electrician services, you buy into that ITEX currency, and now you've kind of fixed some of your costs for all the things that you can trade for within the ITEX trade range, the store of value.
Now, yeah, I get it. So you have that value though, but the question is, how do you take that value then and bring it into the everyday marketplace where you could then realize that rather than having it locked up on these discs or just trading with people within that community? And before you go into that answer for us, we got to take a quick break and we'll come right back and we'll hit that question.
Attention all real estate investors, business owners, stock traders, and anyone looking to get out of the rat race for good. We all know time is money, but did you know there's a wealth of resources on how to make more money, keep more money, and protect what you've earned all for free online? Anderson Business Advisors YouTube channel offers free resources on asset protection and tax reduction from lawyers and CPAs designed to help you keep more money in your pocket. To learn how to limit your liability, protect what you've earned, and minimize your tax burden all for free, subscribe to Anderson Business Advisors on YouTube today.
Hi, everyone. It's Clint Coons here. Welcome back to the Anderson Business Advisors podcast. And we just finished up talking with Steve. We're finishing up on these different cryptocurrencies and how they work. And he was telling us about them. And then we're going to move into how you can actually apply those to real estate. So, Steve, why don't you just finish that up about those cryptocurrencies? And let's talk about how you can use it as a real estate investor, how a real estate investor should be interested and they need to know about this.
Sure. So as a real estate investor, there's a couple of different ways that you might want to be looking at cryptocurrency. The first is buying real estate with cryptocurrency. And if you actually invested in cryptocurrency and it went way up, you know, now you have a big asset that you want to diversify into other kinds of assets. And real estate's a great place to do that. I got into real estate actually by trading land for cryptocurrency directly, which is interesting. It's hard to do it directly. Most people will just cash out and then buy the property. But you can actually trade land for cryptocurrency. And there get to be some issues when you do that, but those would be details we have to work through right here.
Did you pay
Another
tax?
Another thing might be to get. Well, I acquired the cryptocurrency in the transaction, so I didn't have to pay tax on the cryptocurrency. I had to pay tax on the capital gains for the land.
Okay, all right.
And absolutely, mm-hmm. if you do buy land with cryptocurrency or property with cryptocurrency, the appreciation of that cryptocurrency would be a taxable event. So let's talk about a way that you can maybe not have that happen to you. Another way might be to get a loan secured by your cryptocurrency. There are lenders out there right now who will give you a loan. It's kind of like a stock margin loan where they'll give you a loan of 50% of the value of your cryptocurrency. Now you can take that loan and go buy real estate. And since you haven't sold the cryptocurrency, I think you might agree that that wouldn't be a taxable event for you. But you're the expert on that, not me.
No, you're absolutely correct. But if I'm going to do that, I'm going to use my cryptocurrency as collateral. Would I give them a thumb drive with all the blockchains or the coins on it?
That's a really good question. There are places now that will act as escrow companies who will hold the cryptocurrency for you. One of the big ones is called Prime Trust. It's an online bank. And so they will hold escrow cryptocurrency in escrow for clients or for loans or for whatever. And so that's one way to do that. So that way that cryptocurrency is held in a third-party wallet that has all the right sort of security, all the right bells and whistles to make it all work. But that's a really good point there.
Okay.
Now, there's some other ways to do this with real estate and cryptocurrency. A lot of the more advanced investors will turn to a syndication as a way of raising money for a larger deal. Well, you can use a security token kind of cryptocurrency as a way of having the ownership of then that syndication be represented. So you do the private placement memorandum, you do the syndication, you register everything with the SEC, you have an escrow agent who can help hold things like the Prime Trust or whatever you want to use. And then you actually issue your own crypto coin, and that coin represents ownership in that piece of property. Now, why would you want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
The real reason might be liquidity. The real reason might be liquidity, because if you can make sure that you follow all of the SEC regulations for trading, which there are many, you still would actually be able to have your investors trade those sorts of coins a lot easier than they can trade some sort of abstract interest in a property. So there are ways to give your investors better liquidity by doing this. It's called property tokenization approaches. And there are some companies out there now that help support and provide you all the information you need to do that property tokenization. So I think it's going to be an advanced form of syndication that you can do for real estate.
Wow. Are there people doing it right now?
People are doing that right now. Now, a lot of the projects, there's a lot of projects that are sort of in beta testing, or they've done one, or they've done a couple. There are a couple of companies. The biggest one that I've seen is called Polymath, and they do that more as a business. They've probably done it more than most folks. There's a couple of others. I actually have a conversation set up tomorrow with some other groups that are doing this. It's emerging.
Mm-hmm.
I would not say that it is fully realized everywhere yet, but it is being done and it's being proven out. And certainly within the next 6 months to a year, I suspect it'll become a place. And I suspect within the next 3 to 5 years, it'll be the primary way of doing it.
Okay, so that's interesting. So you can do the syndication. So what about then on the rental side? If I own rental property, could I collect rents? I mean, do tenants come up to you and offer to pay you in cryptocurrency?
Well, now that is actually a very interesting question as well, because that's one of the things I did want to talk about. Many, many companies now are starting to accept at least some cryptocurrencies for payment. Imagine how that might appeal to millennials. It'll make your property appear cool and updated and modern, and being able to accept money in a very easily liquidatable cryptocurrency like Bitcoin or Ethereum could be a very good idea for your student housing, for your apartment complexes, for your self-storage. I think those are all really good ideas.
Well, why would millennials have cryptocurrency, though? Why do you think that is?
I think they believe it's cool, that it's a wave of the future. I think there's a lot more interest there. There's a lot more, they're more accustomed to dealing digitally with everything else. A lot of them don't carry cash, right? All they have is a credit card. And what's a credit card? It's essentially dollar tokens available to you through an electronic mean. And what's your bank account now? It's dollar tokens. It's a dollar token in a register on your bank. You don't see the actual dollars in the bank anymore. They don't have piles of cash lying around. These are all electronic record entries, which is just like cryptocurrency in many ways.
So if I were to accept rents in cryptocurrency, I guess the question I would have is, A, number one, how do I get paid in crypto from someone? How would they transfer it to me?
Mm-hmm.
And then B, you know, because of the fluctuations that you've brought up, I don't want to hold on to it. I want to cash it in right away. So then how do I turn around and convert that back to US dollars?
The basics of doing cryptocurrency is you hold your currency in something called a wallet. It's a metaphor, right? It's a digital metaphor. You have your currency in a wallet, and your wallet has an address, which is a big, long string of letters and numbers. And that address is something that's called a public key. You actually have a secret private key as well that you have to protect, but the public key is the thing that's out there. You give that address, and anybody can send you cryptocurrency to your account, but they can't get into your account. They can just use that address to send to you. So essentially, you give your address to your tenant, they send you the cryptocurrency. That's the one part. The second second part is how do you actually sell it if you want to get dollars right away? There are a number of exchanges out there. Think of them like stock exchanges, right? Where you can trade crypto for crypto, and many of them you can trade crypto for what they call fiat currency, which is this, what we think of as dollars and euros and yen and whatever. So because if there's enough of a market where you have people buying that cryptocurrency, you can go to one of these exchanges, offer it for sale, and essentially someone will trade you the dollars, and those dollars just appear in your bank account.
Okay. So would you recommend someone do that then if they were going to accept currency? I mean, what type of safeguard should I have in place if I wanted to work with a tenant in that manner, if they came up to me and they offered to pay me in cryptocurrency?
Well, you want to make sure that you're getting the right dollar amount when they pay you, but that's mm-hmm. pretty simple because they can actually, in most of these exchanges, they can say, I want to send this dollar value of cryptocurrency to this person, and they'll use the price at that moment to make that exchange. And you do right that you would have currency risk, right? If they send you the Bitcoin and it goes down before you sell it, you've lost some money. Mm-hmm. It goes up before you sell it, you've made some money over and above your rent. So depending on whether you're bullish or bearish on cryptocurrency or on that particular cryptocurrency, you might actually hold it for a little while and see if you could end up getting more out of it than you would have with the rent. If you're bearish, obviously you want to sell it as soon as possible.
Okay. So there isn't any problem then that since they're trading it through an account, that's handling all the protections, tracing the funds, knowing who it's coming from. Because as you brought up earlier, there has been a little bit of a stigma to it. I was watching the show Billions on Showtime, and you know, one of the ways Axe was paying people is in USB sticks with crypto on them. So if they did something for me, right, like, here you go, untraceable funds. And of course, you know, you wouldn't want to be associated with that. So those exchanges help fix that problem.
Well, the exchanges can help fix that problem. Any exchange that ties to US dollars or any other fiat currency mm-hmm. Implements know your customer rules, just like any other bank does. All the exchanges that are dealing with actual currency do that. It's only the exchanges that are only crypto to crypto that don't necessarily do the know your customer and anti-money laundering rule.
Okay. Yeah, because that would be kind of, that'd be a little bit scary. All right, well, how about buying property then? So when you talked about going back to that, if I wanted to purchase real estate or sell real estate, it'd kind of be the same process. I need to set up one of these accounts with an exchange, and then somebody then would transfer me the money into that account. Once I've shown it, then escrow would have to be tied into that, I assume, because wouldn't that throw escrow off if you're being paid in crypto? Or are they set up to work with this currency?
So they are not set up to work with it yet. When I did my property exchange exactly like this, we had to sit down and lay out what would happen when, you know, this happens first, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then this, in order to make the exchange all happen. So we did something like this. We had the seller sign the deed for the real estate and hold it in escrow in the title company. And then we sent the cryptocurrency to the seller's wallet. And then once that was received and we could show that was received, then the title is recorded. And okay. So it was like a 2 or 3 step process. But that's what they do now anyway, because they're looking for wired funds and making sure those distributions happen. It's just you have to actually work out what's going on when with the cryptocurrency. And it's really not that hard. It's just a matter of being intentional about it. And there's different ways of proving it. There are other issues with the sale, but I'm not sure we want to go into all those details on this. I'm certainly happy to discuss that as follow on with anybody. But things like getting title insurance can be a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how does that work, though? Because, I mean, that is something that would come up, I'd imagine.
Yeah. But with the transaction that I did, we could not find a title insurance company that would do the title insurance at closing. So we did title insurance the day after closing.
Okay.
And because now you just own the property and you get title insurance, it's really no different. Since then, I have found the title company that will do this at closing. And I think there are, certainly within the next year or so, I think there'll be even more.
Got it. All right. I guess it's like anything, that as it starts to gain more acceptance, then you're going to see more mm-hmm. people willing to transact business in that. Because I've seen some ebb and flows with this. I remember a couple of years ago when crypto was really hot in Las Vegas, you could use that to get your dog groomed, go out to dinner.
Yep.
And then when it pulled back, you saw several of these establishments, they no longer would accept it. You'd call them up, you know, do you accept crypto? No, we no longer accept that. So there's, I guess I see that side of it, that there's some risks there, but you know, there's also the gain aspect of, you stated, it's like, you know, invest in real estate, you know, it may go up. So if I collected crypto off one of my properties, I'm also wondering, all right, maybe in 3 years, this goes from the $6,000 it's worth now per coin up to $20,000, and I cash out then. I've just really, you know, increased the return on my investment. Is that kind of the way you look at it with your investing?
I do. And in fact, I think there are ways to hedge your risks on that. Maybe you hold some of it, have it go up, and you sell some others to get the cash. And then you can always think of it like you would do with a stock, where you might have insurance on the stock. You have puts and calls and those sorts of things. So that you might say, okay, I'm going to sell if it goes down to here. I'm going to sell this much if it goes down to here. Or if it goes up this much, I'm going to sell so much and take profits off the table. You can do a lot of the strategies that you do with stocks, which are also pretty much a speculation market, sort of like cryptocurrency has become in some way. I think there will be a lot of cryptocurrencies that will be very stable. Think security tokens that actually represent ownership of a piece of property. The value of those cryptocurrencies will be based on the value of the property, just like the value of your shares would be in the LLC that owns the property if you did it that way. Mm-hmm. So there's every reason to think those would be completely stable. And then there's other kinds of things you can do with cryptocurrency as well, which we haven't talked about, I'll touch on briefly. You can actually do your whole buying process on the web using cryptocurrency tokens. So your contract can actually be captured in a cryptocurrency token on the web. There are some companies out here now. Propi is one that actually lists real estate, allows you to accept cryptocurrency for your real estate if you want to. And they claim to do the whole buying process end to end online using cryptocurrency. But there's another company called ShelterZoom, which does all the contract negotiations online. And they're having something called Mithra Contracts that goes with them that allows you to do the whole contract process online. So these have some potential interesting advantages for real estate, in that you can have everybody have the latest version of the contract simultaneously by using this as a cryptocurrency. So you could speed transactions tremendously in real estate by going to this digital approach. And then the actual contract itself is, you know, anybody who has access to that token can see exactly what the final contract says. There's none of this disagreement or argument. Similar to that, yeah, you can put real estate title on the blockchain. Wouldn't it be nice if anybody anywhere could search the title by going through blockchain, and you could search all the way back, and you know, it would be immutable, and that no one could go in and change that or remove that or do anything to that title. There's some examples with that right now. Cook County near Chicago was doing a pilot for doing that. I think the Republic of Georgia was doing a pilot for doing a backup of all their real estate title in a blockchain. There's a lot of folks looking at that stuff, and you could do similarly MLS, multiple listing service listings through a blockchain, and then those would also be up there and searchable and available to people in the blockchain access. So there's a number of different possibilities for blockchain and cryptocurrency to interact with real estate, even beyond the buying and selling with cryptocurrency, which I'm very interested in, or are these security tokens where you might do the actual syndication on the blockchain.
Mm-hmm. So what I get at what you're saying is that this is it's new, it's up and coming, and that it may be something in the future that people, when they see the benefit and how fast transactions can take place and the security, because you, if you watch the news or you read, you know, Wall Street Journal or any publications, there has been this talk of blockchain technology as the wave of the future, that it has, you know, a high degree of encryption and protection for any transactions that take place in it or data that's transmitted. So it might be something, you know, that people would want to be aware of. And I think they should, because as it grows in acceptance, you're going to be faced with it. And if you're not taking the understanding it, you don't know how to converse in it, you may lose out on opportunities.
You're absolutely right. And even just putting blockchain in your name, I think I heard about one company that they weren't doing very well. They put blockchain in their name and the value of the stock like tripled overnight, even though they didn't change the company at all. So you have to be careful. I mean, the term blockchain is very hot, but it is just a technology, and it isn't a silver bullet that solves all your problems. The other thing I'll also say about blockchain, and I think this is kind of important for listeners to know, the things that you're talking about, all the advantages of that blockchain, the immutability, the cryptography, all the things that are on there, are really available to you for the public blockchain. That means that there's all kinds of people around the world who are maintaining this blockchain, and so nobody can go in and change it. Mm-hmm. But if a company has its own private blockchain, even if they have 1,000 copies of it somewhere, they can just decide to go in and change all of their blockchain. And so a private blockchain doesn't necessarily have all the properties that you really like from the Bitcoin blockchain. It's something to be aware of as you're going forward. Blockchain isn't a silver bullet in and of itself. It has to relate with a couple of other pieces of its overall approach that make it work. And Bitcoin is by far the most successful at putting all those pieces together to make it all work.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot here. And I know, you know, you were getting into that there's these different currencies. So, you know, if somebody's listening on this and they want to get a hold of you to go into this in more detail, are you open to that?
Absolutely. I'm becoming a little bit of an evangelist about this, because I think there's so much to do here with real estate. And real estate is kind of low-hanging fruit mm-hmm. for cryptocurrency to make some really substantial improvements in a very short time. I'm also starting to work on a book, because I haven't seen all of these aspects of the real estate pulled together. So I'm working to pull that book together with, you know, probably by this fall it'll be released, and have a kind of an overview of how all the different ways real estate and cryptocurrency can interact.
Well, great. So how would they get a hold of you then?
The easiest way is email, and mm-hmm. that is steve@streetsmartinvestments.com. And that's my website is www with the same domain, streetsmartinvestmentsllc.com. So you can go to my domain and sign up for a newsletter, or you can send me an email directly and I'll make sure that we can have an interaction there. And that's probably the best way to get started.
Great. Well, Steve, I want to thank you for being on today and sharing this, you know, new and upcoming opportunities with cryptocurrency in real estate. And I hope some people reach out to you and get their questions answered, because, you know, as I stated, until you and I met, I really didn't know that much about it. I just knew enough probably to be dangerous. But, you know, you're telling me that there are different ways to do things now with real estate and cryptocurrency. And it's kind of, you know, piqued my interest, and especially coming out of talking to my friend who's in charge of that bankruptcy trustee, that attorney. I see there's some real money to be made in it. So it's changed my way of thinking. So I want to thank you for taking the time to be on the podcast. And is there any parting comments you'd like to make?
Well, I appreciate the invitation to talk with you about this. I'm very interested in this. Cryptocurrency has had some ups and had some downs, but its demise has been way over predicted. I think it's going to be around in the next 5 years, 10 years. I think the world's reserve currency will be a cryptocurrency. There's going to be a lot of things going on in cryptocurrency over the next few years. And it helps to stay ahead of that curve and figure out the best way to have impact your own business.
Great. All right, everyone. Steve gave out his information. You can reach him at streetsmartinvestmentsllc.com or steve@streetsmartinvestmentsllc.com. Again, Steve, thanks for being on. And everyone's listening in, I wish you the very best with your real estate investing. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast, and if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.